Hello, it is 3 a.m. in New York, 10 a.m. in Johannesburg, and 3 p.m. in Bangkok. Welcome to the Expat Happy Hour. This is Sunday Schneider Bean from SundayBean.com, and I'm a solution-oriented coach and intercultural strategist for individuals and organizations, and I am on a mission to help you adapt and succeed when living abroad and get you through any life transition. Here's to the crazy ones. The misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do. Thank you, Rob Siltanen, for saying this so rightly. Because the misfits are my people. And if you're listening to this, they're likely your people too. Now, let me explain. If all you've done is follow me on Expat Happy Hour, this might feel like a surprise or not something that's quite right. Sunday, a misfit seems quite mainstream. I could be the poster child for the girl next door in the United States. But the ones who know me the most, those are the ones who know the best. That for the longest time, and in many times, I felt like an outsider, like I didn't belong, or I felt misunderstood. And this was way, way before the days of me packing my bags and living abroad. Even when I was younger, I felt like I was either too much of this or not enough of that. And it took me a while, although I had really, really dear friends, it took me a while to find what I would call my tribe. And the first time I found my tribe was back in 2005 when I got together with a group of other interculturalists and did training together and found out that, you know, their stories, although very different, were a lot like my stories in being different or living experiences where others just couldn't see a fit. I've had other times when I've pursued my coaching training where I felt again seen and normal in my not normal. So when I got on the airplane a week ago and landed in The Hague, I had no idea I was going to find another tribe. I had a reunion of strangers ahead of me and we left as friends. And actually, it felt like we left as family. So this is a tribe of misfits and fit anywheres. And in this episode of Expat Happy Hour, I am going to share with you the top learnings from this conference on families in global transition. So for those of you who haven't heard me talk about it, Families in Global Transition is an organization that just celebrated its 20 years of existence, doing exactly what it sounds like, supporting individuals, partners, children, those in the industry who are in global transition. Okay. And I'm also going to let you in on my best kept secret this year. But most importantly, I'm going to urge you to be one of those people crazy enough to think they can change the world and do. Because this episode is about changing the conversation so we can change our lives and world. Okay, the first thing I want to do is to talk about, to continue the discussion that we had in episode 59 with Megan Norton on how to help your third culture kids or cross-cultural kids form a sense of identity and belonging before adulthood. Now remember, third culture kid, cross-cultural kid is another way of saying it is a person who spends a significant part of his or her, let's say 18 developmental years of life accompanying their parents who are in a country or countries who are different from at least one parent's passport country due to a parent's choice of work or advanced training. Now, that definition is an updated one from Michael V. Pollack, and you might be familiar with these ideas of third culture kid from the Pollack and Ruth Von Reichen book, Third Culture Kids. So if you are raising children and you live abroad, and maybe your kids are like mine, where, you know, they have a papa from one country and a mama from another, or maybe you're like us where you have that and you live in a third culture, this is a relevant conversation for you. And the definition of a third culture kid, which I'll talk about in more detail afterwards, that you might even have a cross-culture kid and you don't know it, because up until now, we haven't had language for it. So I want to pass on some learning that I got from a discussion on a panel. It was an amazing panel led by Megan Norton. And there were speakers Lubel Butalid, Jenna Strom, Michaela Newbanks, Bryce Newbanks, and Kira Miller Fabregat, and they led a conversation on how to transition from a third culture kid to an adult third culture kid. They answered their take on culture, choice, and commitment. So here are some things. I'm giving you kind of an insider view of what I took away from this panel that I feel like would be really useful for you, because I know it hit home for me. There are three things I want you to think about when you think about raising third culture kids, or maybe even you're a third culture kid, an adult third culture kid, and you're still coming to terms with that. The first of the three things I want you to take away is, one, take care of your own junk. Here's what I mean by that. One of the panelists said for them to really thrive, if their parents, the parents of third culture kids, can process their stuff, and we as kids can see that, we can process ours. So this really goes back to Martha Beck's motto of live it to give it. If you worry about the impact your international life has on your children, and you want to do everything you can as a parent to take care of your kids and support them on their journey, their identity journey of discovering who they are and what that means and what their multiple identities and experiences mean, guess who you got to start with? I'm thinking of that childhood expression of when you point your finger at someone, there are three pointing back at you. Really, and I know this from my own experience, that I need to take care of my own stuff, because if I don't, I'm not going to teach my kids how to do it. I'm not going to role model that for my kids, and they're not going to learn how. Okay, so when you have kids in this situation, the place to start is with you. How are you processing your international life and experience? How does it impact you as a person, how you see the world? Is your experience vastly different from your child's? How do you make sense of that? So that's my invitation to you. Number one, take care of your own junk, because if you do that and your kids see that, they can process theirs. Okay, takeaway number two is really important. Know that you can't fix it all now. So I am a development junkie, right? I like to read books about personal development, parental development, childhood development, et cetera, brain development. And my instinct is, okay, I'm the one who brought my kids into this international experience. It's my job to make sure that they can process it. So I'll read books like the Third Culture Kid book. I'll read, you know, blogs from other third culture kids. I'll take notes from people who have lived that experience and see how I can filter that into my everyday life. And it's important, as one of the participants said, it's not that you can process your experience as a child and then you're done with it. You have to process it as an adult. And that comment hit me like, oh that means stuff can come up later when I'm not there as their, you know, parent living with them in the same house that I have absolutely no control of. And I guess that's okay, right? As a parent, I don't want to let go of that, but I know I have to let go of that. So this acceptance of it's our job to guide our kids while they're with us, under our wing. But the fact of the matter is that they can't process all of their experience as a child. And then they're done at 18 and move on, because sometimes it's just bigger than them. I mean, I think of my own kids, how my son at what, 7, was talking about coup d'etats and revolutions and asking why Diendere wanted to, you know, kidnap the prime minister. This is big stuff. At his age, I was watching Nickelodeon and seeing the future Alanis Morissette get slimed with green goop, right? We have very different experiences. So I am holding that. I'm putting my hands up in the air and saying, all right, Sunday, you can do what you can now to help your child process their experience, but it's not going to be done, that this continues into adulthood. So I'm putting that on my radar, one, to sort of surrender in the process as it is, and also make sure that I'm there when they're older, in their university age or late teens, 20s, 30s, as a sparring partner, as someone to listen as they process their journey. All right, number three is for me something which I love, very tangible and concrete, that I can do to support my kids. It is what you can do now while they're in that journey during childhood. And one tip that I got, and correct me if I'm wrong for those who are specialists, but it is name, connect, and choose. Name, connect, choose. And this is how you do it. First thing, when your children are going through tough times, maybe they're processing a recent transition or fearful about an upcoming move, you help them name it. And here's a really important point. Instead of saying, you're sad, you're scared, like you are, you help them name the emotion. You feel sad. You are, you feel afraid, right? So it's a way to distance themselves of, sad is not who I am. Sad is how I feel. Okay. So number one is, instead of saying you are, you say you feel, or you help them use the language I feel, and instead of I am. All right. And how do we do that as parents? You know it. You can't tell them. You have to show them. So that really means that when you're talking about your emotions, to work hard to say I feel instead of I am. All right. Number one, name. Number two is connect. And that means connect with your body. Where in your body, or how do you know that you're feeling that way? So depending on the age level, you have to adapt this, you know, but if I look at my 5-year-old and I want him to connect with it, I'd be like, oh man, you feel angry. You know, where are you feeling angry in your body? And he might say, in my jaws, I'm clenching my jaws, or in his fists. You know, he might clench his fists and make that face. I'm like, oh, I can really see, you know, how you're clenching your fists, that you're really angry. So you can either help them do that, or you can mirror that, you know, by observation, how you know they're feeling that way based on what you see in their body. Okay, so helping them connect with that. And the third one is choose. So based on how you feel, what do you want to do next, right? What do you do with that anger? What do you do with that sadness? And maybe it's, oh, I really just want to go bawl my eyes out. Or maybe I want to go kick the soccer ball because I'm so upset and that'll help me calm down. These are ways that we as parents can support the process. Name, connect, and choose. Okay, so that is one thing from the Families and Global Transition Conference in the Netherlands, in The Hague, that I hope that you take away. Another thing I think is important is, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but they talk about being a third culture kid or a cross-cultural kid. So that's the other beauty of being involved with something like the Families in Global Transition. You have people who get it. All right. So another thing, just to continue this, is Ruth Van Recken, again, I'll say it again. She is the co-author of the Bible of Third Culture Kids. And she was there. It was such an honor to meet her in person and to watch the legacy that she has established over the last 20 years. And she talks about this idea of there's this growing cultural complexity of identity. And before, you know, third culture kids were just this narrow idea, you know, of kids outside the passport country of their parents. And then we started, you know, opening the conversation to cross-cultural kids, maybe, you know, bicultural or binational kids. in one country who never move, who have no global mobility. And Ruth really challenged all of us to say we need to have a new conversation. And imagine we have a chart, you know, with the cross-cultural kids, little bubbles. We've got the international kids, and we've got the missionary kids, we've got the, you know, military brats, as they say, and we've got all these bubbles. But the thing is things are changing. Our identities are far more complex, and our the globalization that we have, this globalization is not reserved to corporate transfers, right? That our cultural complexity of identity is growing, and that Ruth Van Recken is saying we need to have a new conversation, a conversation which brings in the voice of kids that don't fit into the mold of how we've been talking about it when we talk about international life. I mean, think about the complexity of international adoptees, the children of refugees, children of immigrants, children of minorities, right? Children who don't look like their adoptive parents, children who do, right? There's mixed heritage children, children of borderlanders. There's educational cross-cultural kids. I mean, just to name a few. So when we're looking about, you know, changing the conversation, it's how can we make this conversation more inclusive? So when we also talk about with this idea of living in international life, there comes responsibility. And during a talk that Robin Pascoe gave, she talks about how corporations ignore the needs of families at the peril of the organization. So it's another thing that we need to open the conversation of. There's something that Robin Pascoe wrote years and years ago that still likely rings true for a few of you. Here's an excerpt from Culture Shock, Successful Living Abroad, A Wife's Guide. In the wake of a husband's career, her life and the lives of her husband and children seem to effortlessly glide from one exotic outpost to another. She's the backbone of the international family, the emotional rock. She's also the last person anybody really thinks about until all the clean underwear runs out. Right? A very, you know, classic traditional way. We now have accompanying partners who are the male accompanying partner. We have same-sex couples that are living abroad. And yet, this still rings true. And so Robin is calling out also to change the conversation. Quoting Chris O'Shaughnessy, expats and people in the cross-cultural world have a more acute understanding of the issues we all now face because the issues at hand are inherently part of the expat experience. There's need to intentionally build community, seek to understand others, encourage inclusion, and broaden the worldview. So these are some conversations that were happening at the Families and Global Transition. If you want to know more, go ahead and check out my business Facebook page at Sunday Schneider Bean LLC and get the, you know, scenes that were happening, glimpses of the event and the wisdom from these amazing presenters and many, many more. Some of the other things that you'll see is, you know, writers like Olga Mecking, and I learned from her, you don't have to be a native English speaker to get published in major magazines and media sources. In fact, let's create a space in which people who are living in international life and may not have English as a native language, more of a voice so that their voice can be heard, their perspective. And as we're seeing from her as a perfect role model, she's able to use her international life and unique location to share that voice, to share her perspective. From Stephanie Ward, who is bicultural American living in the Netherlands, I'm hearing how she's taking away the fear of small business owners who are thinking that marketing is yucky. And she's talking about how marketing is just having a conversation. And from the fearless leader of I Am a Triangle, Naomi Hadaway, she shared during the event how our current modes of leadership are not personally empowering and that we need to look that maybe leadership is something that's tapping us on the shoulder and calling us to step up and do more for something we really believe in, right? So these are these are just some of the things that I learned, and I encourage you to go check out more. You can find out a ton more by doing the hashtag FIGT 18NL on Twitter and get glimpses of people's writings and wisdom. But most importantly, some of the deepest and most profound learning for me was on the sidelines. It was in between the sessions. It was that night or, you know, following coffee or over a few beers where I learned so much. And what I learned from Ruth Van Recken is something so simple. She said, you know, she's 72, I believe, and she's looking at the legacy of what she's built. And I said, yeah, you know, I recently, you know, turned 40 and it makes me think about, you know, what's next for me. And she said, you know, in the 20s and 30s, you get your experience. And in your 40s, that's when you start to create it. She didn't even publish her first book till well into her 30s, if not, you know, barely almost 40. And we have a load of examples of famous people who didn't get started. I think Julia Child is one of them who didn't get started until they were in their 40s with projects that are amazing. So if you're there, if you're in your 20s and 30s, know that what you're doing is building your experience, and it's rich. And if you're like me, you know, 40 and then plus, now is the time to take what you have and shape it in a way that serves you, serves your life, serves others. And it's actually not too late. It is the perfect time. So Ruth said, know what your gifts are. And I would add that you have to use them for your benefit and as a result for others. And one thing I know you won't get online, and this is the thing I'm the most excited about, is a conversation I had the privilege of having with Amel Dereghi. As you know, or if you don't know who Amel Dereghi is, she is the founder of Tandem Nomads. She's a business coach, a marketing coach, and she has an amazing podcast talking about the challenges of being an expat partner and how to create more portability in what you do. She is really on the cutting edge of helping people build a portable business that fits your life. Okay, so she and I were talking, and her passion is just palatable, right? And one thing that I really heard from her is that we need to have a conversation. We need to change the conversation on how we talk about how expat partners can cope. It's not just about making do, but it's about taking our own power and abilities and changing that in a way so we're thriving regardless of location. How can we thrive in location-independent roles and businesses so that we're feeling fulfilled personally and professionally and also making a contribution to our society? So I want you to check out episode 92 on Tandem Nomads. Her episode is 3 reasons why starting a business is the solution for expat partners. It might seem counterintuitive to you, but I tell you, check it out. She and I have something in common that is very, very important. We both believe in living a life rich in purpose and empowering ourselves and you to find a way to do that meaningfully and successfully. So check out her episode. And if you do, you are going to find out our best kept secret this year. And it has something to do with combining my viewpoint and the changes that I make in my clients' lives with her zone of genius. So check it out. Episode 92 from Tandem Nomads, 3 reasons why starting a business is the solution for expat partners. All right. You've been listening to Expat Happy Hour. I ask you, what conversation do you believe in that you want to change? Maybe it's about what I've mentioned today. Maybe it's about something different. But we who live international lives, I don't care, you know, what you call yourself, if you call yourself an expat, a migrant, an immigrant, a triangle, global soul, global nomad, we have the privilege of a viewpoint, of seeing the world from a perspective that not everybody does. We have the power to shape the conversation. And that's what I want you to think about today. What is the conversation that you believe in and that you want to start shaping? Thank you for listening to Expat Happy Hour. This is Sunday Chanderbean. I will leave you with the words from Ayn Rand. The question isn't who's going to let me. It's who's going to stop me.